I want to spend some time talking about a hospital cesarean reduction program that we implemented, we piloted in 3 hospitals in Southern California. But before I get into that, a little bit about what gets us out of the way. My organization, the Pacific Business Group on Health, we lead efforts to transform the U.S. healthcare system by representing healthcare purchasers. For the most part, we represent large self-insured employers. We represent over 60 employers who represent, I think it's 10 million lives in the U.S. healthcare system, and spending over $40 billion annually. So it's an important group to tap into, and the way we work is we leverage the influence of these purchasers to test innovations in healthcare, to test and then eventually scale, which we'll get into at the end of the presentation, different innovations. And below is a beautiful organization of just a few of our employer members. So the Transform Maternity Care Program was built out of member request. Maternity care is the second largest healthcare spend for a lot of purchasers. I know for Medicaid, it's number one. And over the last decade or two, we've seen a huge increases in healthcare spending and not the same returns in quality. Just want to also take a moment that beyond these cost and quality savings, for employers, there's a huge investment in supporting the parenthood transition. With a higher C-section rate, you'll see a higher likelihood of postpartum depression, a slower return to work, a more expectation of partner support. So really getting involved in cesarean reduction is just better for the worker and the employer. I'm going to try and breeze right through this background because I feel like I'm preaching to the choir a little bit here. But the C-section rate has increased a lot. And it has increased a lot in a very short period of time, even when risk stratifying. For the rest of this presentation, when I talk about C-section rate, we mostly focused on the NTSB C-section rate. Does everybody know what the NTSB C-section rate is in the room? No. So it's the nulliparous term singleton vertex. So meaning it's first-time moms are having a baby at term, they're only having one, and it's facing the right direction. And this should really be the lowest risk group for undergoing C-sections. And this is a measure that's kind of been embraced by the whole healthcare community. LeapFrog now is included in their hospital surveys. The Joint Commission now requires all hospitals to report on NTSB starting last year. So this intervention focused specifically on reducing C-sections among the lowest risk populations. And a huge part of that was because in this country we have such a low VBAC rate that once a mom has a C-section, she's 90% likely to have a C-section in all subsequent births. And the reverse is true. Once she has a vaginal birth, she's very likely to have a vaginal birth in all subsequent births. But we saw an increase in NTSB C-sections over the same time period, in the same 15-year period between 96 and 2008. Same time, we're seeing huge variations in hospital C-section rates. This is each orange line here represents one hospital in the C-section rate of one hospital in California. And that's the difference between like 11% and 80%. And that means that a woman's risk for C-section depends in large part on where she delivers. When you see so much variation and such a huge change in a healthcare practice, you would hope it would be mirrored by improvements in outcomes. It's not. We know that maternal morbidity over the same time period has increased, as it has maternal mortality. The U.S. is one of the only developed countries in the world to see an increase in maternal mortality over the last decade. But we've seen no benefit to newborns as well. And by many measures, there's been an increase in NICU admissions. And this has been compounded by skyrocketing costs. The costs of birth have risen much faster than inflation over the same time period. And the difference between a C-section and vaginal birth is also highly variable, differing anywhere between $5,000 or $50,000 in cost. This is one of my favorite quotes about what variation in the healthcare procedure means, and it signals overuse of the procedure that is at best not medically indicated or at worst harmful to patients. And this is really driving the reason why PBGH decided to invest in this hospital quality initiative. So before I get into describing it, we recognize in advance there are many ways, there are many levers to pull on when trying to bring down a C-section rate. And here are just a brief list of many of those. And in this intervention, we're really looking at three of them. So we received a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, actually specifically looking at payment reform strategies for high-value care and maternity. And our objective was actually to reduce the C-section rate in three hospitals in Southern California over 3 years. And we did it by pulling these three levers. So the first was data access. California is very lucky to have an organization called the California Maternal Data Center. It's out of the California Maternal Quality Care Collaborative in Stanford. And what they're able to do is to tie birth certificate data to claims data. And they take it out of the Department of Health and they calculate it separately. So they're able to give hospitals real-time data about their birth outcomes. Looking at physician-level C-section rates, failed induction rates, and what this really allows the hospital to do is understand the drivers behind why they're performing non-medically indicated C-sections. And then with this hospital-specific data, we were able to provide technical assistance to tailor an intervention specific to the drivers of that hospital. It was not a one-size-fits-all model. It was really taking into account the culture of that hospital and the specific drivers identified through the data. And then the last piece was payment change. It's really important that if we're trying to make a move to promote vaginal birth, payment should align with those outcomes. And so go spend a little bit more time on that. This is my attempt to visually represent what the blended case rate looked like. The idea is that hospitals and physicians respectively were charged one flat rate for delivery, regardless if that delivery was a C-section or a vaginal birth. And so in order to participate in the pilot, hospitals had to implement the blended rate with at least one health plan. And that blended rate starts on the admission of delivery. It didn't include any postpartum or prenatal care. So it started when a woman was admitted to the hospital for delivery and ended when she left L&D. And the rate determined was generally on the average C-section rate for the previous year at that hospital. So we didn't want to alienate any hospitals and make them feel like we were picking a rate that was really out of range for them. We wanted them to understand that, hey, C-section rates are too high, your practices and the culture of your unit are in part responsible for these high C-section rates, so we're just gonna take payment even out of it and slowly and see how you can improve just by keeping things the same. And the idea being that if you brought down C-section rates, you'd get more money per birth, but if you increased them, you'd start losing money. And again, this was a tricky sell, but luckily, we had the quality collaborative and the data as a big carrot that for participation. So this is our project timeline. We developed the blended case rate, and then we recruited hospitals and health plans. This is when our employer members played a very big role. To get some of the Southern California hospitals, one of our biggest members, Disney in Southern California, called up at a hospital in Orange County and was pretty much told them, we're paying attention, this is important to us, we'd like you to participate. Didn't even have to put a lot of pressure on them, but just to hear from a purchaser, not a provider, that, hey, we want you to be paying attention to this, was hugely helpful in actually recruiting hospitals and health plans to come on board. So then we actually started implementing in 2014, And by the end of 2014 and this year, we started seeing, started getting some of the preliminary QI results back. And on the right, these are all of the hospitals and health plan partners that were part of implementing. This intervention was hugely successful. So a couple points on this slide. I think you can see that we brought down the NTSB C-section rate by an average of 20% at all three sites. None of the other hospitals in the area saw a reduction of their NTSB C-section rates this significant. It's important to note. And that, as you can see, the QI piece was initiated at a different time than the blended case rate was activated. And that's because renegotiating contract rates was painfully slow. It took between 4 and 18 months and was riddled with regulatory barriers. But upon initiation of the QI piece, all hospital participants knew that payment change was eventually coming. Here's a bit more of the numbers, so it's a little bit easier to actually see the reduction in C-section rates. And I think it's important to note that we're anywhere between 14 and 18 months out, and all of these reductions have been sustained. And another quick note, while not a clear part of the intervention outright, we did see an increase in VBACs at two of the three sites. And the third site we didn't see an increase, what already had a higher than average VBAC rate, which is suggesting that this intervention was very successful in changing culture to be more supportive of vaginal birth generally. So quick note on some of the barriers and limitations for implementation. There's a lot of competing priorities out there, especially in a post-ACA world. So getting the attention of hospitals and then getting hospitals to prioritize this work was tricky, and that's where our purchasers really came in. And then talking hospitals and clinicians into owning the problem. I think it's really easy to point fingers at everybody else, like it's changes in the maternal population. In talking to hospitals, we heard everything that we have a more South Indians, or we have more Latinas. It's easy to blame, I think, the consumer for a lot of these issues, the consumer of healthcare. But the reality is, the healthcare system, the clinicians own a big part of this problem, and the data helped us make them realize that. But there's still, providers generally are still very wary of payment reform because I don't think they totally understand it. And that culture change is just really, really hard. That I can't overemphasize how this was essentially an intervention to change the culture of an obstetrical unit. And it took a lot of time and a lot of buy-in. Here are some keys to success. I've really talked a lot about a lot of these, so I won't spend too much time. All three of these hospitals, though, did have very involved leadership, and all were really ready for change and really embraced the intervention. We have not tested this in those hospitals that are not as open to change or might be laggards on the diffusion of innovation scale. We are scaling this. Health Affairs, one of our funders, California Healthcare Foundation, just wrote a blog post on Health Affairs that I think it's called Working for Happier Birthdays. It came out on Monday. If you want to learn more about what California is doing to scale this work to more hospitals, I strongly encourage you to go read that. But I'll say it doesn't take a village, it takes a small city. And we have a hospital association, health plans, purchasers, a quality collaborative on board to make this happen. And on that note, I'll finish up. Please don't hesitate to reach out for me. I do have a case study summarizing this on our website as well.